Welcome to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Strangers. To boldly say what needs to be said.
Would you be a stranger or an alien? Or would you be a strange alien?
The truth is out there. I am your father's best friend's plumber. Superman.
Wonder Woman.
Heroes. Villains. Captain Picard versus Captain Kirk.
Do you think that there's room in sci-fi for God? The very first thing that God did,
so wise you are,
was that he created something, so we have a creative God.
This is Strangers and Aliens Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Strangers and Aliens Podcast. I am Ben Avery, one third of the Strangers and Aliens. I am not here alone, although Steve and Dr. Jace are not here with me for this episode, because this is a interview episode where I am interviewing someone that I want you guys to get to know. He is a creator and he is a podcaster, and he is he hasn't been doing it for a really long time, but he's basically right now the granddaddy of science fiction Christian podcasting. So I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but if you like to welcome now Peter Franzen to the Strangers and Aliens podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me on, Ben. We just talked about this a second ago, but that the granddaddy thing feels a little overblown. I do take it as a compliment, but I mean, there is definitely guys that were doing it before me. I always kind of feel like I'm standing on the, what is it? What's the phrase?
Standing on the shoulders of giants. Yeah.
Giants. Yeah. So.
Well, I say granddaddy partially because when Steve and I were starting to do some podcasting stuff a little while ago, yours is one of the few ongoing things that's still ongoing. I mean, how long have you been doing your podcast?
If I remember correctly, let's see, I launched Spirit Blade Productions in 2006, and it was about 9 to 12 months later that I started the podcast. So I guess it'd be about this time in 2007. So about 5 years, I guess. Am I doing my math right?
Yeah, because we're 2012 now.
All right, math is not my strong suit. Yeah.
Well, in internet years, that's an eternity. So maybe granddaddy's not too far off in internet years. But
yeah.
But some people will recognize your voice already because they already listened to your podcast, the Spirit Blade Underground podcast.
Yeah.
And you also run Spirit Blade Productions, which is you.
Pretty much.
But it's not just a podcast. The Spirit Blade Productions is not just a podcast. Why don't you just explain what Spirit Blade Productions is for our listeners and some of the other things you're doing that's beyond podcasting?
That's actually harder than you might think to try and describe Spirit Blade Productions. Whenever people ask me, so what do you do? You know, I almost just kind of want to, I always wish I had a laptop there. Just like, you know, here, just kind of look at the website and kind of see what's going on there. It's Spirit, and I'll try to be concise. Spirit Blade Productions is an online media production company, very little company. It's just me running the day-to-day stuff, and then my wife does the number crunching, the bookkeeping and stuff for our taxes and whatnot, what I call the grown-up stuff. That's what she does. And Spirit Blade Productions exists to equip, encourage, and inspire Christian geeks to live their lives more and more for Christ. And that works itself out in a few different ways. In the equipping department, I suppose the podcast plays a pretty important role there. The Spirit Blade Underground podcast is really all about examining and celebrating geekery and geek entertainment from a biblical perspective, similar to what you guys are doing. Just with a specific focus, I guess you would say, on discerning truth. Like, what is in this moment, what I'm looking at, the entertainment I'm enjoying or experiencing, what is the truth? Does it reflect truth? Does it not? What thinking might it stimulate that would further lead me into a better understanding of truth. And then, of course, just having fun and geeking out and, you know, all the kind of stuff that, that comes with being a nerd. And so that's that, that, I guess, is where a lot of the equipping kind of works itself out. The encouraging part is coming more and more from the community that that we've developed in the last, just in the last, I think, 2 years is how long the forums have been around. We've got, I know I'm biased when I say this, but I feel like we have a really unique online community of Christian geeks, just because we've set a tone and established that, you know what, we're going to talk about different ideas and celebrate being geeks, and sometimes that's all we're going to do is just hang out and geek out. That's a lot of what we do. But we also talk about matters of faith, matters of, you know, sometimes we dig in and say, what's this weird thing in the Bible about, or what's, what do you think about what this movie is saying, or what this video game is saying? And so we share differing opinions, but it never gets heated, and we're just a community that enjoys exchanging ideas, having fun, geeking out together, but doing so and sharing in the context of our differences, doing so in a really polite, loving, caring, welcoming, warm kind of way. And so that's, I think, been a source of encouragement, just for starters, for me, and I know for a number of others that have been there. And then the inspiring part, that's, I guess, maybe where some of our media production comes in, like our entertainment media. To start out, our main focus has been audio dramas. And if you don't know what an audio drama is, it's more than an audio book, and it's less than a movie. It's somewhere in between. It's like listening to a movie. You know, you got a full cast of actors, you got a score and sound effects and all that kind of stuff. So it's like listening to a movie while you exercise or drive or do something you don't really want to be doing, but you can't, you know, you can't actually watch TV, you know, while you're doing it. So we've got just crazy sci-fi fantasy stories and stuff, but that are fueled by a biblical viewpoint, and that are geared specifically toward Christians. I mean, non-Christians, I've heard, I'm always surprised when I hear that non-Christians are enjoying our stuff, and I think it's great, but it's really focused and aimed at the Christian community, and just hopefully inspiring them to see their faith and see the basic ideas of their faith that they've maybe taken for granted in a new, fresh, and exciting way, while they get to geek out at the same time. So I think in a very massively semi truck size nutshell, that's Spirit Blade Productions.
All right. Well, so which came first then, the podcast or the audio drama?
The audio drama came first. We performed the audio drama trilogy, of which the third part is in production now, shares the same name as our company. It's Spirit Blade. The first one is called Spirit Blade. The second one is Spirit Blade Dark Ritual. And the third one is Spirit Blade, subtitle to be determined at this point. But
that sounds like it has a really interesting plot.
Yes, yes, yeah.
The search for a title.
That's right, yeah. But we performed the first one, if you can believe it, as a live show at my church. And that was a live performance of audio drama. So it wasn't like a normal play that you would go and see where people are running around stage and stuff. People would come up to mics and perform their roles. And we had some surround sound speakers set up to kind of envelop the audience in sound. And it was really kind of experimental and, you know, edgy, even for our church, which is, you know, fairly with the times, I guess.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun. Especially, you know, when it's your own baby, you know.
Yeah.
To see that come to life, and when other people start saying your lines and singing your songs, it's like, oh man, this is, I mean, there's just something really cool about that. But it's nothing compared to the recorded version, because then I could really take control of the thing and really finesse it and add all kinds of layers and stuff. But yeah, the audio drama came first.
And so so let me ask you this then. Why audio drama? I mean, I love audio drama. I love listening to old-time radio. I love listening to new-time radio. Adventures in Odyssey is a favorite in our house with my kids. So the question is, what made you, what pulled you toward audio drama?
Well, it was a medium that I, and ultimately the listener is the judge of this, not me, but it's the medium that I thought I could produce the kind of story I wanted to tell in the quality that I, to the level of quality that I wanted to tell it. I mean, I love movies. I don't really listen these days too much audio drama. I used to listen to a lot more, and I grew up listening to some audio drama now and then, and I really enjoyed it. But I've, first and foremost, I, you know, as far as like fiction, I like movies. I really love big summer blockbusters, the ones that don't suck and that aren't Transformers movies, that are explosive and cool and, you know, have tons of special effects in them. You know, I love those kind of crazy, you know, sci-fi type movies. And I wanted to tell that kind of this explosive, crazy, wild story. But I, you know, I knew that trying to make a movie of that and be as really intentional and obvious with the Christian thematic content, the biblical thematic content, as I wanted to be, it just wasn't going to happen. You know, unfortunately, I just feel like the vast majority of quote-unquote Christian films are made with the best of intentions, and they just... well, they're terrible. I'm looking for a polite way to say it, but they're just terrible. And for whatever reason, the Christian artistic community in the world has not been able to pull together the right combination of talent and resources, both in personnel and financially, to tell the kind of crazy, big, explosive, special effects kind of stories that I want to tell. So audio drama, I knew, was a way where I could tell those kinds of crazy, wild stories and just spend, you know, I guess to this point I've spent maybe just a few thousand dollars in sound effects budgets to pull, you know, sound effects from various Hollywood studios and just put those into my audio drama. So, I mean, in my audio dramas, you're going to hear sound effects that are the same kind of that same cinematic quality, you know, which is funny now because sometimes when I watch a movie now and then and I'll hear a little computer go beep, beep, boop, I'm like, oh, I have that sound, you know. but yeah, so I thought that I could tell the kind of story I wanted to tell without compromising in quality.
Now, have you listened to Focus on the Family's Narnia?
I was going to say I'm looking at it on my bookshelf, but I'm actually rearranging my office, so it's in my bedroom right now. But yeah, I've listened to the, I think almost the entire thing. Really well done.
I'm surprisingly well done. I mean, it's just you feel like you are in a movie, you know. But
yeah,
but there's no picture, and in some ways, it's a little creepier. Just because yeah. It's your imagination, you know. Their tagline is the what do they say? Something about the theater of the mind.
Oh yeah,
something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that just really, to me, that's the attraction to audio drama. And so, yeah. But then the other similar thing you're talking about there is similar to comic books, where you kind of have a more unlimited budget.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So tell about your two at least. My understanding is you have two main things that you've been doing for Spirit Blade Productions, which is the Spirit Blade series, and then also the Pilgrim's Progress Similitude, mm-hmm.
Similitude
of a Dream.
Yeah, yeah. The main trilogy is the Spirit Blade trilogy, and that's kind of like a futuristic story. That shocker surprise is not an end time story. It seemed like for a while that's the only kind of futuristic story that Christians could tell. Has nothing to do with the end times. But it's kind of hard to describe in a nutshell. It's a future where basically the idea of tolerance has gone so far that that really absolute truth itself as a concept, at least in moral terms, is outlawed, and those people are among the highest form of criminal, and so of course, you know, in the fallout of that kind of declaration on the part of the government, then the Bible, all kinds of religious texts have been outlawed, and so there's a group of people gathered from all over the world that are trying to find fragments of this forgotten book and gather it together, because they realize that this has immense significance to the entire human race. And and so the main character kind of gets caught up in this underground world, and discovers that he has a prophesied role to play in it. And tropes is the word. These are not new kinds of ideas. You know, they're very kind of cliched. You'll find them in lots of different fantasy coming-of-age stories and sci-fi stories and stuff like that. But it's a crazy genre blend. We've got aliens and cyborgs and people shifting in and out of the spirit world, going toe to toe with demons, and so there's like this crazy blend of sci-fi and fantasy that I really enjoy playing with. I'm a big fan of especially the early Final Fantasy games. Anything that blends sci-fi and fantasy in a crazy mashup, I really enjoy. And so as far as genre goes, that's what's going on with Spirit Blade, and that's the basic story. Pilgrim's Progress is that's an ongoing series, and it's been a while since we've released the first episode, which was released in 2009. But I'll be full bore back into that series right after Spirit Blade 3 is released, which is in production now. And that is, Pilgrim's Progress is a reimagining of The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. I took out the because in this version, it's not just kind of like this kind of anonymous person, and it's not really near as allegorical. It's more heavily symbolic. And the main character's name is Christopher Pilgrim, and it takes place in a fantasy setting. So it's more of like this classic high fantasy kind of setting, where the main character, Christopher Pilgrim, is a teacher in a school of magic, and he discovers that he has been cursed in some way, and this curse is eating away at him and breaking him down, and no one else can see it. No one else is aware of it. He can't find any kind of cure for it in any of his spell books or anything, and so he's compelled to go in search of a cure. And so that's going to basically take him on the entire journey of the entire story. And right now we've produced the first episode, which is about an hour long, and the rest of the episodes will be produced one right after the other, right after Spirit Blade 3 is produced.
So as far as Spirit Blade goes, with 3, that's it when it's done. You're planning on being done? I mean,
I'm not ruling out the possibility of coming back to the Spirit Blade world at some point, but I have zero plans to do that, and certainly no plans to continue the story with these characters. I mean, by the end of Spirit Blade, I've told all of the story I want to tell with this group of characters, and they'll be done after that.
Okay. So let's talk about your podcast then for a moment too. Because that's where I first found you, was because I was looking for podcasts, specifically podcasts that were about Christianity and science fiction and fantasy. Mainly because I was, you know, at that point it was just Steve and I, Dr. Jace wasn't a part of things, but looking because I wanted to see what else is out there, because I wanted to do that. Mm. Let's start with why. Why are you doing the podcast? You said already about that's part of the equipping, I think, part of your mission statement. But you know, you've got this format of essentially your podcast episodes. Half of it is review, mm-hmm. and half of it is basically Bible study. Mm-hmm. And I guess why, and where did you come up with that format? Was that something that you just had to figure something out, or is that something you had seen somewhere else? Or,
gosh, I'm trying to remember now. I ended up going with that format. You know, it's funny because week to week, I never anticipate that the study will take up as much time as it does. I mean, in my mind, as I think about like the podcast, it's weird that you mentioned that half of it is the Bible study, but in my mind, I'm always thinking of that as one third or less, but it kind of gets away from me sometimes, can go a little bit longer. But I, you know,
well, but to me, part of it is there's a break in between.
Oh yeah,
and so
yeah.
Time wise, it might not be half, but you know, that's
well, kinda... it might be sometimes. But as far as like the reason, well, I think discernment is kind of a key word that comes to mind, and you know, the big, I guess, tagline, if you will, the podcast is seek the truth, or some form of that phrase, seek the truth. That's kind of, I guess, maybe the outworking of there's two ways that I want to exercise or practice along with the community of listeners, practice seeking truth. And that is in the hobbies that we love. And that's the review part. And it is most of the time it does end up being a review, usually a movie review, but more and more it's reviews of other things, or every once in a while some other geek topics. And I'm really open to exploring, you know, a different way to kind of fill some of that time if people are interested. But yeah, just kind of exploring and enjoying geek culture, in light of what scripture has to say about God, about who God is, who we are, what our purpose is, and you know, all these kinds of big questions, because our entertainment, video games, movies, artistic thinkers they also tend to be philosophers, even if they wouldn't claim that of themselves, and they've usually got something they're passionate about that's more than just some kind of geeky concept. There's usually some idea, some philosophy, some moral, some value that they care about that creeps its way, intentionally or not, into their work, and we just kind of take that in, and sometimes we're influenced by it, sometimes we're not, but it's there. It's either representing popular thinking or it's in some ways creating popular thinking, which I'm not sure, but at the very least, it's kind of a barometer of pop philosophy in America, and so I think it's a great place to go to examine ideas, some of those big ideas, our entertainment. And then the other place that I think is, of course, ultimately the most valuable to go to answer those big questions is the Bible. Because I believe it's the solitary word of God to humanity, and you know, for us to ignore it and take it for granted, as I'm all too often guilty of doing, is kind of nuts. I mean, it's sitting there right on the average person, the average Christian's desk, and we just we so often don't turn to it and don't examine it, and that can be because it's intimidating, because it's weird, you know. It's like, what in the world is this? I mean, this is written in another culture, another time, another language. I'm just reading a translation here. What the crap am I supposed to make of this? Some of this weird stuff. And so that's part of what I want to do in the In Search of Truth segment, or the Bible study segment, is to kind of like unpack the Bible a little bit and strip away maybe some of the churchy language that we can kind of hear and use so often, and we just really don't think about what it means anymore. And just try to get into the text, see if we can learn a little bit using linguistics and examination of culture to help us unpack it a little bit, and then figure out, okay, now we know what they were writing and what they were saying essentially to the original readers of this, and how can I apply this to my life? How is this relevant to me? And I guess one of the other reasons I really wanted to include some kind of Bible teaching is A, because I'm just kind of wired that way. I kind of need to do that. I think that's kind of one of my primary spiritual gifts is to just kind of teach. I love seeing the light bulbs go on for other people. And then also because I feel this is the case less and less, but because the church really doesn't know what to do with geeks a lot of the time. You know, on the church's best days, she will say sometimes, you know, we love you, but we don't really know how to talk to you, so we love you. Please sit in the corner, and we just know that we love you from over here, you know? and then, unfortunately, on the polar extreme, on the church's worst days, she's saying, you are evil. What you are enjoying and taking part in is evil, and you need to repent of that if you want to be right with God. And that's not to say that there aren't some things in geek culture and stuff that aren't harmful, but I'm talking about the kind of attitude that comes from a place of ignorance and fear of the unknowns in crazy geek culture, you know. And as a result, I'm afraid there's a lot of geeks that just don't feel like they have a place in the Christian community. And, you know, first and foremost, I want to get geeks connected to the local church. I don't think what I'm doing is in any way a substitute for that. But I do hope for those that maybe aren't connecting to their local church that this can be a starting point where they can get some, you know, reasonably decent teaching and understanding of the Bible, and then hopefully we'll find a place where they can connect in person with the body of Christ.
Yeah, what was cool for me with your podcast was I listen to it often when I'm cleaning my church. I work part time at my church as a janitor, so I'll be, you know, mopping the floor or you know, plunging the toilet or whatever, and listening to your podcast, which makes, you know, plunging a little more fun.
That's awesome. But I'll think of that next time.
Yeah. This goes out to Ben as he's plunging. Yeah. But while I was listening, mainly it would have been last spring probably, I was working on a science fiction graphic novel about Paul.
Oh, cool.
And so as I was working on this thing, I'm also listening, you know, once a week to some of your Bible teaching about, you know, Acts. And so you're kind of unpacking these things that I'm unpacking as well. And it was cool to come across these and be listening and okay, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking about that when, you know, where the guy threw him to the ground and tied him up with a belt, you know, kind of thing. And, yeah, so that was just a cool, like, connection for me. But I do have to say, I appreciate that about your podcast is that, you know, listening to it, you know, you've got the geek side. I shouldn't say the geek side because both sides of the podcast have a lot of geek stuff to it. But, you've got, on the one hand, you've got, here's what our culture is doing and here's an application, you know, and then on the other hand, you have, here is the Bible and here's the application. You kind of have that, you know, these kind of two influences on our life. One obviously is much more important than the other, you know, of course I'm talking about the Bible. I shouldn't be so vague there. Some people kind of know, but yeah, that's one thing I've really appreciated about your podcast, personally, is just to, you know, have that that there and a part of things and to me it is half and half, but I couldn't tell you like actual, you know, times or whatever. I know that sometimes your review section can go long, especially when you're really excited about something and
yeah. Well, bad stuff I don't want to even think about. Like this week, it's going to be on the podcast this weekend, but I saw Resident Evil Retribution. And have you seen it by any chance?
Not that one. No, I've watched the other three.
Oh my gosh! I thought it was terrible. I thought it was so bad that I actually phoned in my review. Literally, I like because it felt like the whole movie was phoned in. So I mean, like, yeah, with the reviews, I really, you know, with the movies I don't like, those tend to be shorter. And this week, I was like, they phoned this movie in. I'm going to phone in this review. I'm not even going to take the time to like write down my review and structure my thoughts well and stuff, because they certainly didn't do that with the movie. You know,
well, did you like the other three movies?
Well, I thought they were. I was interested in seeing where it was going. I don't want to commit to a word like, but I was interested enough to go and see them. And I guess I kind of had the hope in the back of my mind that they would kind of find more direction for this franchise and end it well. But with each movie, they've seemed to be less and, you know, have less and less of a direction. And, you know, so there's elements of it that I enjoy, but I can't say that about anything in this movie. It was loudly. So that'll be but actually, since I phoned it in, I was like ranting. And so that review actually, I think, is going to run about 10 minutes. The written version would be shorter because I'd be like, I hate this. I don't want to waste my time on this, you know, be done. But anyway.
Okay. So let's talk geek stuff then.
Okay.
For a minute here, and let's just let's talk superheroes. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to know. I mean, I shouldn't say I want to. I already know the answer to this question.
Okay.
But who's your favorite superhero?
Green Lantern.
And can you just tell us why?
Because he's limited only by his imagination. I mean, I know willpower is the thing they're really focusing on in the books, and it has been for the longest time. But I, you know, as a creative nerd, imagination to me is everything. If you gave me a ring that could create anything I could imagine, that is better than anything any other superhero has. He can virtually mimic every other superpower. In fact, if you go by the rule book for the DC Heroes role-playing game, the ring typically has an omni power of 10. So even though you've never seen Hal Jordan use super speed in the comics, he could use an omni power version of that in the DC Heroes RPG. But that's a whole different nerdy topic, and that's not canon with the comics. But yeah, that's why I love Green Lantern. Oh,
yeah, and I. That was something it's very easy to pick up listening to your podcast because it's in the end credits of every episode. Although, is it in the reboot?
No, I took it out.
Okay.
I guess I didn't want to maybe alienate, I don't know, X-Men fans or something. No, I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to take you to task for your thoughts about the Green Lantern movie, but...
I have eased off.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, I have eased off in terms of like how highly I think of the movie. I mean, when it came out, I was doing my best to not overblow and give it more credit than it was worth. But I mean, and I even said in my review, guys, I can't be objective with this. It's not going to happen. I'll do my best, but don't trust me, you know? And you shouldn't have. I think I gave it like a 9 or something like that. And to this day, I still don't poo-poo it like a lot of folks do and say, oh, it's just this horrible movie. But I think in the end, I would give it in my scale, which is based on kind of like the grade book system, I would give it an 8 or an 8.5 in the extended version on Blu-ray because they add more character to it. I think the theatrical release would be less than that. It's probably like a C or something like that. Not a terribly great movie, but I would give it a solid B with the extended stuff in the Blu-ray release.
I'll tell you, for me, it wasn't so much that I was watching this movie and just thinking about how horrible it was. It was a very frustrating movie for me. It just felt like this is a no-brainer. This should just be fun.
Yeah.
I'm not having fun. I don't know if it's because I put too high of an expectation on it or what. Although after Superman Returns, which I enjoyed, but let's face it, that's not a great movie.
Yeah. Who wants the child support paying Superman? Not me, you know?
Give me a break. Yeah. And you know, it comes down to the climax. You know, it's another real estate, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Scheme. And the climax is he picks up a rock. You know, I don't know how many people have said that. That's not original with me, but I'm just, you know, I still liked Brandon Routh, or however you say his name, but where was I going with that? Oh, with your reboot, I was going to ask you because you've kind of changed format now a little bit, and I was just curious why reboot? Not, and I call it the reboot kind of tongue in cheek because it's not, you know, it's not like all of a sudden you're starting over with issue zero and you know you're a completely different Pater with a different origin, So what's the thinking there? Is that just to liven things up for yourself and to freshen things up for your listeners or what?
Yeah, I mean it's really for the listeners. One of the things that the podcast is around for is just to keep people connected to the community that we're creating at Spirit Blade Productions and in order to do that, you know, a podcast is a great way to just kind of like get people connected and reminded that you exist from week to week, you know, and there's really a large gap right now in which I'm not releasing any kind of entertainment product, you know, like it's going to be at least another year and a half, I think, before Spirit Blade 3 is released. And for a little while there, you know, let's see, Pilgrim's Progress Episode 1 was released in 2009, I think, and Dark Ritual was in 2008, then 2009 was Pilgrim's Progress, and then 2010 was the special edition of Spirit Blade, where I've remixed the whole thing from the ground up. And so, in some people's minds, I might have set a precedent of, releasing, some new big, piece of entertainment every year. And, I didn't release anything last year. I don't have anything I'll be releasing this year. And so just for the people that are sticking around and stuff, I wanted to give them kind of something special and fresh and new to enjoy. I changed up all the music, and I created a bunch of different little mini audio drama vignettes that are kind of lampoon various tropes of sci-fi, fantasy, and horror that I use as segues for different segments of the show now. And just to kind of liven things up, and as kind of a thank you to listeners, and give them one more reason to not get bored and stick around, hopefully.
So let's back to the geek stuff then. What is your favorite geek franchise?
Like in any medium, period?
Any medium, yeah. Oh
my
yeah.
gosh. Oh, don't, you can't do that, Ben.
Yeah, I can, because I'm doing it right now. My show, my rules.
I know. Okay, well, whatever my answer is, I reserve the right to, email you in a week and say, no, I meant to say this. If I were to say the best piece of geek, let me put it this way, the best collection of geek fiction, I don't know if you call it a franchise or not.
That sounds like a fair enough definition, though.
The best collected body of geek entertainment, I think, might be represented by the Farscape TV series. I think. I'm not sure, but I think. There's been some phenomenal, comic books that I've read over the years, but there's nothing like the consistency of production and the storytelling, the character-driven storytelling, the crazy aliens every week. They could go from, weird, whacked-out comedy to dark, heavy drama, and you've got a fish out of water as the main character, who's throwing out, American astronaut John Crichton, throwing out sci-fi modern pop culture references
yeah, yeah.
just about every episode. I mean, there's so many things right about that that show, and about the TV miniseries that capped it all off in the end.
Yeah, I call that show a really cool Buck Rogers.
Yes,
They got Buck Rogers right by not doing Buck Rogers.
Yes, and my hope after that show was done, I was like, okay, well, maybe I can hope that they'll remake a Buck Rogers, and I'll get some of the same elements that I got from Farscape. Yeah. They'll have that in a new Buck Rogers show, but no luck yet.
No. And that Flash Gordon show that they did.
Oh,
try to do
was... man, they dropped the ball. There was so much potential there. Oh, man.
All right, how about this one? What's your favorite sci-fi or fantasy book?
All right, I got to swivel around, look at my bookshelf here. Oh, you know what? It used to be a harder answer than it is now. I would have said Terry Goodkind's Sword of Truth series. Okay. I like dark, character-driven, angsty fantasy. But I really think, and it's not just because I discovered through reading and then when I interviewed him later on that he's a believer, but Brent Weeks' The Night Angel trilogy. If you or your listeners are not familiar with Brent Weeks, he's on the New York Times bestseller list. This trilogy, The Night Angel trilogy, is just phenomenal. It's very dark and visceral, and his characters are unsterilized. They throw F-bombs around and stuff like that, and there is just – it's dark and violent. But there is so much wonderful truth in there. Scriptural truth. I was turning page after page. I was like, did he just, is this a parallel to, really? I mean, is he saying what I think he's saying? And every page I turn on, there's more and more and more. I was like, I have to be imagining this. And then at one point I was like, I am not imagining this. I'm going to hunt this man down and I will interview him on my show. So I got him to come out on my show.
Nice.
As a believer. It was a great interview, a lot of fun. There's a link to it at spiritblade.net/underground. But even if it didn't have that stuff in there, that kind of like was, neat for me as a believer, it's just great, visceral, angsty, awesome sci-fi. I mean, it's it's great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, and the only reason I knew about him was because of your podcast.
Great.
I haven't read anything yet because my shelf is full of things that I'm trying to get through.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so I have one last question for you, and then I have one last thing I'd like you to do that it's not – that sounds really like this vague, like, I'm going to have you do my homework. No, but I have one last question for you, and that is – and I'm not sure if this is part of the – again, with a wink and a nudge, part of the reboot. But you used to say that the podcast, the Spirit Blade Productions, is about science fiction that is
unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed.
Okay, unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, and this is a storytelling question, more than a franchise or a geek question.
Okay.
For you as a storyteller, what does that mean?
Well, admittedly, it's pretty vague, because one person's idea of unsterilized is going to be different from another. There's certainly some places...
My own, by the way. Whenever you say that, I just think of dirty water.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Well, I guess that is... it's really meant to evoke a feeling more than it is to really... critically and precisely identify an idea. The idea of being unsterilized and unsafe, particularly, is something of a response to what Christian fiction has mostly been to this point, and I think mostly continues to be, especially, you know, the stuff you're going to find in a Christian bookstore. Now, it is getting better. I definitely want to say that, but there's still quite a ways to go. Christian fiction tends to be, sterilized for lack of a better word, just a little bit too tidy. I'll give you an example. The Left Behind series. Now, I like some of the things about those books. I read the entire series, and I thought it got a little slow in the middle, but I thought it was pretty well written. But I thought it was really weird that, there's no Christians left on the earth, just a few of these stragglers left over that kind of knew Christians or were close to Christians or whatever. But suddenly they're like praying and talking and using all the Christianese and stuff that, Christians have been in church all their lives, use. And I'm like, that's weird. That's just not, or when a character has like kind of a conversion experience in a story, then suddenly they're just this much nicer, better, less flawed person, and the Christian life is messy, and we are flawed and we're messed up. And so if you look at the main character, for example, Merrick in the Spirit Blade series, he does, as by way of his kind of origin story, have that conversion moment in the first, sorry, spoilers, everybody, not that you can't
see. You're spoiling your own thing.
Yeah. Not that you can't see it coming a mile away. I mean, I look at Spirit Blade, and I'm like, sure, it structurally definitely has a lot of cliches in it. But as soon as you move beyond that, Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, and then Spirit Blade 3 is about these people who are all believers, but what they're like on really bad days, and it's messy, and I feel like Christian fiction doesn't acknowledge kind of the mess and the nastiness, or they don't really represent evil as dramatically as they could, because they just kind of gloss over it a little bit. And I'm not saying we need to glorify evil, but I want, victory over evil is felt so much more strongly when you feel the oppressiveness of that evil, when you feel the darkness of that, the ickiness, when you feel like, ugh, I just kind of want to take a shower after watching or reading that or whatever, and then when there's victory over that evil, oh, that's so satisfying. That's why I like a lot of Terry Goodkind's books, because he puts his characters through the ringer. But then when they get up at the end and beat the snot out of the bad guys, you're just like, freaking yeah, baby,
That sounds like the anti-George Martin, then. Where it's just everyone goes to the ringer and then goes through it again. Yeah. And then they die.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, and I think when I think of fiction, If Christian fiction, family-friendly is kind of a buzz phrase. Now, I don't have anything against being family-friendly. I think we definitely need family-friendly entertainment. But what a lot of Christians get into their heads is that it's bad to do anything that's not family-friendly. You know, that there's never a place for fiction and entertainment that is enjoyed after the kids go to bed, you know. And I think there's absolutely a place for that, and there's absolutely stories that you can tell and impact that you can have telling stories that way, that when it's not necessarily family friendly, that you just can't get the same impact when you know, people aren't really bleeding or chopped up as much as they you know might be or whatever. I mean, that's kind of a gross exaggeration. But
would you say some of that though comes from an economic cause because it of what sells?
Oh, you mean like sterilizing it?
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
Because you're coming at things with the audio drama, you're coming at it from a completely different angle. You're not having to go through like the gatekeepers at Family Christian Bookstore and the gatekeepers at Lifeway and all that kind of thing, which I've had experience with, and it's interesting. But I do feel like a lot of what you're talking about doesn't just come from this Christian idea of we have to do it sterilized, but this kind of pandering to what was it? Someone was talking about television in the 70s and 80s where they said they tried to appeal to everyone, and so they appealed to no one. So, you know, nothing was artistically sound because they were just trying to get that, you know, trying to get as many eyeballs as possible. And that's, I mean, that's something I look at, you know. And even in genre, you know, stuff, there's not a lot of sci-fi fantasy on the shelves in a Christian bookstore because I don't think people are buying it anymore. The people who would buy it aren't going to those stores.
Yeah, and that's why I think that seeking truth is so important, because the mentality, I think, that has brought that about, like, ooh, we want to stay away from sterilized stuff. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the customer. The bookstores aren't carrying this kind of stuff because they know the customers, you know, most of them will look at it and go, yeah. And so really what we need is for the body of Christ in America and around the world to understand Scripture better, to understand what Scripture does and does not say about entertainment and how Christians should or should not interact with various types of entertainment. I think it ultimately comes down to seeking truth. And as American culture and popular, you know, as mainstream Christians learn more and more to seek truth, to discern truth, then more and more the doors are going to open for these other types of more visceral, unsterilized and unsafe fiction to make their way into the mainstream.
Yeah, and I also think that things like what you're doing with, you know, the audio, it's a back door. You know, you're sneaking past the guys who would have said, no, you can't do it. That's not gonna, no, you shouldn't. Yeah, you get by them because they aren't there, and you're kind of doing your thing, and it works. So.
Well, I mean, I wish I was reaching more. I would love to be able to do this full time and not have anything else that I have to do to bring in some income. I do a little bit of substitute teaching for the public school system each month, but I think that I haven't wasted my time trying to go through the publishers. And really, my audience, our audience, is connected online, and it's a matter, I think, of you and I harnessing the potential of online communication to reach the audience that we want to reach.
So that perfect segue into the thing I want you to do, okay? And that's tell our listeners where they can go to and there's so many things they can go to do, but where can they get Spirit Blade Underground? Not Spirit Blade Underground. Yeah, that's the name of it, right? Spirit Blade Underground.
Yeah, well, the community is the Spirit Blade Underground, and that's the podcast, that's the blog, that's the forums, that's the community.
Okay,
Yeah, and to get to just kind of check out the community and jump into that, see the podcast, the blog post, the forums and stuff, just go to spiritblade.net/underground. Spiritblade.net/underground. And if you zoom out a little bit further, if you go to just spiritblade.net, that'll still ultimately get you to the Spirit Blade Underground community and all that stuff. And you can also, you know, listen to our trailers. You can download the first 30, 40 minutes of both Spirit Blade and Dark Ritual for free and just kind of test the waters there, see what you think of the crazy out-of-the-box stuff we're doing there. I hope you like electronic music, by the way, and vocal performances. So yeah, that would be that was spiritblade.net, and then if you're more interested in the community stuff, spiritblade.net/underground.
And that's also where they can get the Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah, at spiritblade.net. That's right.
Okay. And all right, because that's, yeah, that's, you know, you're talking about building the audience. Well, you're here. Let's build your audience and maybe get a download out of it or something. All right, yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else you'd like to say or...
No, I'm just really excited about the potential for really connecting with this crowd. I'm excited to see podcasts like yours be doing what they're doing, and I'm just excited to see kind of what the future holds. I think that there's great potential. I believe in the Christian geek because Christian geeks have two main ingredients of some of the greatest Christian thinkers, and that is they often have a love for logic and really analyzing ideas, and they also have imagination. And I think some of the best Christian theologians and thinkers and philosophers, those two ingredients are really required to really excel in those areas of thinking. And I think there is enormous potential for the Christian geeks of today to rise up and be the great Christian thinkers of tomorrow. And I would love to just be a part of that massive crowd that's heading and encouraging that kind of direction.
All right. Awesome. So I will put links to your websites. And also, we already have a direct link in our links section to your forum.
Okay.
But we'll put a link in the show notes for this episode as well. To get there, I'm not sure what episode number this will be yet, because we're recording ahead of time here.
Okay. But,
yeah, thank you very much for joining us here, and yeah, so hopefully you'll get a couple new listeners out of this. I do recommend the podcast. I do recommend the audio. I also recommend the man. He's a good guy. So, and that's the other cool thing is your podcast really gives a sense of your heart and
thank you.
And your, just your passion and that kind of thing. Not just for the geek stuff, but for the spirit. Mm. And, so it's cool. And I, that's a big reason why I wanted to have you on here. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be here.
Well, thanks, Ben. I appreciate you having me on.
So, and thanks for listening, everyone. And until next time, next episode, I don't know what we're going to be talking about. We'll be talking about something cool and sci-fi. But until next time, Godspeed.
The future. A world with a quest for truth is a thing of the past.
Look, your truth just isn't true for me, okay?
The truth does not require your belief. It simply is, regardless of your personal convictions.
I think the world's been blinded, Ebony. Everybody claims to be spiritual, whatever the drac that means, but nobody really knows anything about the spiritual world.
Merrick, this is crazy. You can't talk like this.
And they'll do anything to keep it out of our future.
It's Atlantis! They found us again!
An alien race has blessed us with amazing technology.
Merrick, the world we live in is incredible.
While a race of demons destroys who we are.
Do you believe in the supernatural, Mr. Vandarius?
He shall bathe in your blood, human.
Brothers, tonight marks the end of our subjection to the only. Humanity will be wiped from the map of history.
We've traveled across our world and even into another.
What we can see with our eyes is of little consequence in the grand scheme of things. It is what occurs in the other world around us that should have us concerned.
What the press just happened? Was that the
other world? We've been hunted by humans, aliens, and things I don't have a name for.
I'm the future, Vincent.
ultimate life form.
There's too many of them. One goes down and three more take its place.
All because we're looking for the one weapon that can bring an end to this conflict forever.
Give me the sword!
A weapon known only as the Spirit Blade.
Oh, I can feel its power from here. Oh, yeah. Well, tell me what this feels like.
For more information, visit spiritblade.net.
You've been listening to the Strangers and Aliens podcast, hosted by Ben Avery, Dr. Jace O'Neill, and Steve McDonald. Our music was composed and mixed by Tim Leffel. We invite you to join the conversation by visiting our website, www.strangersandaliens.com, where you'll find show notes, articles, reviews, and more. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we are at Strange and Alien, or like us on our Facebook page. If you'd like to email us directly, our email is podcast@strangersandaliens.com. And once again, thanks for listening.